All right, well, we're in Hebrews chapter number 12 this morning. Hebrews chapter number 12. And this morning we're going to look at two verses we looked at last time we were here together. Hebrews chapter number 12. Thank you for turning with me there. Let's look at verses 5 and 6. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 5, the Bible says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." As we look into Hebrews chapter 12, remember we are looking at the subject of faith. Faith. And this particular series, we're looking at our lives in God's school of faith. The moment that you and I receive Jesus Christ as Savior, we are placed into a brand new existence. And one way we can describe the Christian journey is being placed in a school. Not like a school that you and I were in before, when we were younger. Thankfully, it's not like that kind of school. But a new school, a school of faith. And in that school, in that lifelong journey of faith, God is at work to change us, to grow us, to educate us, and to help us to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. But as you would agree, I'm sure, there are lots of things we need to learn. There's lots of things that we need to let go of as we grow in our Christian life. And God is at work in each of our lives to help us through this school of faith. And Lord willing, at the end of our lives, like these ones of old in Hebrews 11, we too can graduate with a good report. That is God's desire for us. The Bible says all these received a good report. All of them. Why? Not because they were perfect. Not because they were sinless, far from it, but because they chose to live by faith. And so God is going to teach us through this term. I hope you're enjoying these series of lessons on how you and I can live by faith. Now, quickly, just a review of last lesson. We looked at the forgotten subject, a subject we forget about very often. Why? Because God tells us we do. Notice verse number 5, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children." What is it that we forget? Why is it that so often you and I don't grow and go to the next grade in the Christian life? Because we forget that part of God's dealing with us as His children is His chastening work in our lives. Isn't it true? So often when God chastens us, we don't go forwards, we go backwards. So often we become discouraged, we become angry with God, and yet through that very chastening, God's will is not for us to give up or to give in, but to go forward and to grow more in our faith. So last week we looked at the forgotten subject of chastening. We looked at the fact that when God chastens us, He does not deal with us as He deals with those who are lost. How does He deal with us? He deals with us just as His very own children. That's right. He deals with us as His children. He deals with us lovingly, the Bible says, lovingly. And we always need to keep in mind that He knows what is best. Just like a loving parent would correct their child who's about to run on the road. Why? Because they love them. They want to protect them. They want to help them to grow in their maturity and understanding and to protect them from the catastrophe that is about to come. For what parent who loves their child would allow their child to just run on and be undealt with? So God deals with us lovingly, compassionately. And this morning we're going to look at some ways that God warns us not to respond to His chastening. How we respond to His lesson of chastening really determines our future in the school of faith. Now, when we think about believers in the Bible that are chastened by the Lord, one believer that I find very obvious in our minds to come up in our minds when we think about someone who was chastened, someone who went in the wrong direction and God corrected them, is the character of Jonah. Now, Jonah is a wonderful example of someone who's just like you and I. You know, God tells us to go in one direction and we go in the opposite direction. And you remember when the word of the Lord came to Jonah, Jonah ran. So he went down to the city of, well, Joppa, the port city. He went down to Joppa and there he found a boat and he went down into the boat and then he ended up down into the belly of the whale. So Jonah, as he ran away from God, went down, down, down. But let me ask you a question. Did God leave him there? No. Why? Because God was angry? No, because he loved Jonah. In fact, the book of Jonah is a wonderful book of God's love. His love for the lost, but his love for Jonah. And Jonah was there in the belly of the whale, and God decided to chasten him in that place so that he could bring him out and use Jonah and encourage him, help him forward. But you see, Jonah chose to run, but God chose to chasten. And how you and I respond to the chasing hand of God will determine our future in the Christian life. And we need to respond the right way. That's what this lesson is about this morning. And there are two choices in these verses which God tells us, two different choices that stand in opposition to each other, but really they are both wrong choices in how we respond to God's chastening. Well, what's the first wrong response? Notice verse number 5. The Bible says halfway through the verse, "My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord." So your first blank in your notes, Roman numeral number 1, is the word despise. Despise. What's the first wrong response to God's correction in our life? Despising his chastening. Despising his chastening. Again, if you miss any words, any blanks, they're on the back page at the bottom, just to make it easier. Despising his chastening. The word despise, what does that mean? Well, the word despise means to think very little of. When we despise God's chastening, what do? Well, God is correcting us. God is dealing with us, perhaps in a very uncomfortable way. He's seeking to correct us. And when we despise God's chastening, we do not think that what he is doing is important. We do not think that God is speaking to us. Now, first of all, God's chastening often comes through his word, doesn't it? When we're reading the Bible in our quiet times, when we're reading his word, oftentimes God begins his chastening process through his word. And I believe God's chastening of Jonah did not begin in the whale. I believe it began with his word. See, God knew where Jonah was at. And God, yes, I believe he was chastening Jonah to send him to Nineveh because it was Jonah's heart that was wrong. And Jonah needed to love the lost. Jonah needed to have a heart like God did. And when the word of the Lord came to Jonah, well, he needed to respond, but he didn't. So often when God's word comes to us to rebuke us, to chasten us, we don't respond. So often we think that perhaps that instruction or that correction from our quiet times or from the preaching of God's word is not for us, but it's for that guy sitting at the back. Isn't that right? Who came in late and who leaves early and the guy who never turns up to church or that lady who hardly ever comes to church. That must be the correction God had for them. Thankfully, they turned up. Have you ever thought that way in church before? You see, so often we despise the chastening of the Lord. What does that mean? It means that we think very little of it. Well, it's not for me. I'm okay. You know, I don't need this. And if that's our attitude, then sooner or later we become oblivious to what God is doing in our lives. We ignore his warnings. We ignore his rebuke. We hear it, and perhaps for a moment in the Spirit of God, we think, could that be me? But then we have to make a choice, don't we? Either we repent, and we come to the altar, and we say, Lord, forgive me, a sinner. Forgive me for that sin. Or we become convicted, and what do? We despise the chastening of the Lord. That's not for me. That's not God speaking to me. I'm just as the pastor at Hillsong would say, I'm just feeling unworthily guilty about something God doesn't want me to feel guilty about. That's just my sinful flesh condemning my own self. I'm under grace. That's another story. A false message of how God works in our lives. When He rebukes us, He does so for a reason. When we feel guilty about sin, that's not the response of our own sinful flesh. That is the work of the Spirit of God. He wants us to be corrected. He wants us to grow in our faith. So often we despise the chastening of the Lord. And when God corrects us, when God is speaking to us, rebuking us about a wrong, we need to always bring it back into perspective that is God's loving working in our life. Now imagine if God just decided to end your life and mine the moment we stepped out of line. Imagine if that's the kind of God that He was. Well, Jonah wouldn't have got very far, would he? He wouldn't have even taken one step before God ended his life. And yet God dealt with Jonah as with a son. Likewise, He deals with us. He loves us. He gives us promptings, doesn't He? He gives us gentle reminders. God is so much more gracious than we believe Him to be. But He is God. He will work in our lives, won't He, to get our attention. He will continue to remind us, and He will increase the strength of those reminders, those rebukes, to bring us to repentance, a place of safety, coming back to God. And that is a part of the life of faith. But we need to be careful. Not just to not forget how He works, but we need to be careful about despising the chastening of the Lord. Despising, to think little of, to ignore, to reject. Look, if God is dealing with our lives, if He's chastening us, the most dangerous thing that you and I can do is ignore it. Would you agree this morning? The worst thing you and I could do is ignore it. See, if God is seeking to teach us a lesson and we continually reject His teaching and we ignore it, how many of you understand that God will just start to lift His voice a little bit louder? He will get our attention because He loves you, because He loves me. He doesn't want us to go down the path of destruction. He doesn't want us as that child to cross the road into oncoming traffic and experience the disasters of the Christian life. No, He loves us. So He will chasten us. Brethren, don't despise His chastening. Amen? When God's dealing with you and I, He knows what He's doing. He loves us. Now, we're still in Roman numeral number one, the first point, despising His chastening. And if you've been following in the notes, another area we need to understand when it comes to despising His chastening, we despise His word, but there is also a caution when it comes to how we respond to God's chastening. We despise His word, but oftentimes if we reject what God says to us, we end up despising His teachers, His preachers. And so often that happens in any given church where if we're not willing to receive correction from the Lord, we end up blaming the one teaching. We end up blaming the one preaching. And that's not always the pastor. It could be the Sunday school teacher. It could be another a preacher. When God corrects us so often in our hearts, if we're despising what He wants to tell us, we end up blaming the messenger, blaming the deliverer of the word. Now, when Jesus sent out His disciples two by two, He told them this: He that heareth you, it's in your notes, there in under Roman numeral number one on the first page, Luke chapter 10, verse 16, He that heareth you heareth, what's the next word? Me. He that despiseth you despiseth me. He that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. So we need to be careful when it comes to God's correction. Because when He rebukes us, when he speaks to our very lives in a personal, direct way that is beyond the capability of any teacher, any preacher to know what's happening in your life and mine. Only the Spirit of God knows that. But when he touches that part of your life, it's not the pastor's fault. Amen? Pastor does not follow you around with a spy camera. And, you know, we have a little camera set up in our daughter's rooms. It's a little baby monitor. We've set that up because their rooms are down the other end of the house. And I've got a little camera in my office. And I'm at one end of the house, they're at the other end. And if they get out of bed and start playing with their toys in their afternoon sleep time, and they're not meant to, well, Dad knows. Dad can see. And Dad can see everything. And we have set that up to keep a watch over our children to make sure that they obey what Mum and Dad says. But let me guarantee you, I don't do that for you. I do not know what's happening in your lives. I do not know the specific details. God does. So when God rebukes you, it's not Pastor. Pastor doesn't know. Actually, oftentimes, he's the last one to find out. But who does? God. So when the messenger brings the Word of God and the Word of God speaks to your heart and mine, who is it that's rebuking us? It's God. Can I encourage you? Be careful to not despise the Word of God. Be careful not to despise the teacher and preacher of the Word of God, because it is God's Word and it is God's work to rebuke us, to chasten us. We need to be careful not to despise God's chastening. You know, what is a right response? We'll get to the third point soon, but we can speak about it now. What is a right response? I mean, how often does God correct us and we say to ourselves, well, it's me that is wrong? How often do we initially admit, yes, I'm the one who has sinned? How often does anyone, I should say, come to me as the pastor and say, Pastor, God is chastening me. I need help. Very few and far between, can I be honest? Pastor, God is chastening me. I need help. I need to get back on track. Can we sit down in the Word of God? So often what happens is when we are chastened, what do? We blame someone else. We blame someone else for the problems in our lives. We complain that God isn't being fair. Is that true? Church family, we blame God. We blame others. And yet so often, that's the very evidence that we're despising the chastening of the Lord. When at the end of the day, he wants to work in our lives to bring us forward by faith. So please don't despise his chastening. You know, at the moment when Jonah heard the word of the Lord, he could have saved himself a very memorable time in the belly of the whale. Amen? In the belly of the great fish. He could have saved himself a very memorable time. He could have saved himself from it if he simply heard the word of the Lord and said, Lord, if there's anything in my heart that rejects what you're saying, I need to get right now. But he didn't. He ran. He ran. He didn't receive that rebuke to go to Nineveh. He didn't receive that correction. He ran. And so God's chastening had to be taken up a notch, had to be increased. So it's a very dangerous place to be as a believer, to continue to reject his chastening. Believers, we've seen in Hebrews chapter 11, I believe, for example, Sarah. Do you remember 2 weeks ago we spoke about Sarah? Sarah who laughed at God. But then what did God say to Sarah? What did the Lord say? He said, you laughed. And she said, no, I didn't. And he said, yes, you did. And she didn't answer back again. She received the rebuke and she profited from it. And the Bible says by faith, Sarah received strength to conceive seed. It means that ultimately she asked the Lord to forgive her and then she trusted in God's word and promises. She received the rebuke. And she grew from it. And that's God's will for our lives. And these ones in Hebrews 11, God did rebuke them time and time again. But they went forward by faith. And the danger is you and I live the Christian life despising his chastening and we don't move forward. We're stuck. His chastening increases. And that's a dangerous place to be. Roman numeral number 2, there's another response. The Bible says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord," in verse 5, "nor," what's the next word? "Faint, when thou art rebuked of him." So Roman numeral number 2, the word fainting is your next blank. So we can despise, we can reject and think little of God's chastening. Next, we can also faint. Now those two are opposite, but they're both wrong responses. Fainting means to give up, exactly as it sounds. The word faint means to fall apart. Now, to fall apart as a result of God's chastening, is that His will, yes or no?
No.
Does God want to crush you and I?
No.
Then why is it that we think that's what He's trying to do? Let's be honest this morning. When God corrects us, how often do you and I say, "Well, God is angry with me, He wants to destroy me"? Now, we know that's not true biblically, but that's how we feel practically. God is punishing me. He doesn't love me anymore. He doesn't want the best for my life. In fact, I thought maybe in my hopeful attitude that God is much more gracious and loving, but look what He's doing to me. Fainting. So you and I are not only in danger of despising His chastening, but sometimes we can faint as a result of it. We can collapse into a place of discouragement and despair because we've taken our eyes off the Lord and we have, what does the Bible say in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5? Forgotten. We've forgotten that this is a part of the Christian life. Amen? The Christian life is not just a life of just like we were in heaven. Friends, we're not in heaven yet. We still have a sinful flesh. There's still a lot that God is working on in your life and mine. And in order to move us forward by faith, we need His chastening. We need His correction. In fact, where would you and I be this morning if it wasn't for the loving, gracious, and firm chastening of God? You know, I keep bringing that story up for a reason, because God chastened me. I was after money and career, and God took away my work. I didn't know He wanted me up here in Cairns to be a pastor. I was satisfied just to pursue my graphic design career. And when God took away my work, what did I do? I grumbled. I complained. I despised the chastening of the Lord. Now, after my time of despising passed, then I began to faint. Well, life's over now. How am I going to provide for my family? I've got no money left. We're renting from my mother-in-law. What is she going to think when I can't give her rent? And how many of you understand you need to keep on the good side of your mother-in-law? You know? Can you imagine how much I was fainting and worrying and thinking wrong thoughts about God? And yet all the while, now this is just my story, it's just an illustration, just to help you to relate that God does the same in your life as He does in mine, that He was not punishing me because He was angry. He was chastening me to get me to the place He wanted me to be by faith. Amen? And that's right here in the city of Cairns. So what had to take place? Some chastening, some correction, some difficult, painful times. Why? Not because God inflicts the pain, but because I was despising His chastening. The more I despised it, the more I fainted, the worse it became, because I wasn't listening. But one day the word of the Lord came. And isn't He gracious to bring His word again and again and again? Don't despise it. When it comes, respond to it. One day His word came and I realized, yes, Lord, I don't love You. "Lovest Thou me?" He said to Peter, "feed my sheep." And said, "Oh Lord, I don't love You. I'm loving myself." That's when He broke me. That's when I surrendered. That's eventually how we came to be here. You see, His chastening must be responded to. It's a part of the Christian life. Look back in your life and you can see the marks of God's chastening and thank God for it. Where would we be? Amen? Where would we be? You know, as soon as you get saved, He starts to chasten you because you're His child. He starts to perhaps remove some of those worldly friends that, yes, you want to witness to, but they're not ready to get saved, and they'll drag you down into the sewer pit of their sin once again, and you need to just separate. And God oftentimes chastens us, corrects us to remove those elements from our life that would hinder our growth. How many of you would agree once you're saved there are some difficult times, some painful times, some hurtful times? Because God is at work in the school of faith to help us, to move us forward, fainting at His chastening. You see, our response to God's chastening determines our future. But what happened to Jonah? There was Jonah in the belly of the whale. Now, he could have saved himself from that, but there he was. And there we are, in the midst of God's more intense chastening. So what do we do? Well, what did Jonah do? Jonah repented, ultimately. He repented. He looked back to God. He was going down, 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 and then he chose in a moment of time to look up. To look up to the Lord. To pray to the Lord. And the Lord delivered him from the belly of the whale, and God's chastening work was accomplished in that moment. Jonah did despise his chastening. Jonah did faint for a time. But thank God he responded to the Lord. Thank God he allowed God's chastening to have the result God intended in his life. And onwards he went to the city of Nineveh. What's the point? Well, how we respond determines our future as a Christian. If we despise God's chastening, if we faint at God's chastening, that will determine our future as a Christian. We need to not forget how he works. Lastly, in your notes, receiving his chastening. Roman numeral number 3, receiving his chastening. Now, to despise or to faint is the wrong response. What is the right response? Well, to receive his chastening. To willingly, yes, though it's painful, to receive it. Notice verse number 6. Let's read verse 6 together out loud, shall we? On 2. 1, 2. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. What's the last word in that verse? Receiveth. What is God's ultimate purpose to correcting us? It's not to force us to crush us. It's not to break us and to ruin us. It is, in fact, to bring us and receive us back unto himself. You see, his chastening is an act of love to bring us home to where we ought to be. When we wander off, God is at work to bring us home. What a loving, gracious God we have. Don't forget this exhortation, church family. Why? Because he is chastening you. If not now, he will. It will come. And how will you and I respond? You know, I've seen Christians leave church, leave the faith. They never lose their salvation. But they leave the faith and their life is in turmoil today. Because when God chose to chasten them, they blamed the pastor. They blamed the church. They blamed God. And things don't get any better if that's the path we choose. You see, don't forget. The Apostle Paul is stressing that fact. Don't forget the exhortation. Receive his chastening. Ultimately, the Lord is not so much concerned about our comfort as he is about our relationship with him. That is the greatest and most precious desire of God's heart, that we, can you imagine it, would be close to him. That we would be taking shelter in his arms rather than in the arms of the world. And he loves us so much, he will not allow us as his children to go our own way. Lastly, just an interesting thought to share with you from an interesting few verses in the book of Isaiah. You know, God spoke to the prophet Isaiah about how he deals with his people. And a wonderful comforting truth is this, brethren, that God will not chasten us beyond what you and I can bear. He will never correct us beyond what you and I can handle. He will never correct us to the point of crushing us. He will always correct us in a way that we deserve, yes, but what we can actually handle. what we can actually bear. And that's described to us in Isaiah chapter 28, verses 27 and 28. Notice these verses, and I'll explain in a moment. The Bible says, "For the fitches, the tougher grain, are not threshed with a threshing instrument, neither is a cartwheel, a grinding wheel, turned upon the cumin. But the fitches are beaten out with a staff, and the cumin with a rod. Red corn is bruised, because he will not ever be threshing it, nor break it with the wheel of his cart, nor bruise it with the horseman." But what is the point God is making? Well, very simply, this passage tells us that the tool that is used to thresh the different grain is determined by how hard the grain is. The harder the grain, the more a different tool needs to be used. So with a softer grain like cumin, a lighter rod was used. With a tougher grain like fitches, a heavier staff was used, but none of them were grinded with a cartwheel, a grinding wheel. That was saved for the toughest grains. So what is the point? Well, it's a wonderful one, but a serious one. God will never chasten us beyond what he knows we can handle, but the harder our hearts are, the more God needs to increase his chastening. Would you agree? Now, I don't expect you to say much this morning because it's a serious lesson. And we understand that God is speaking to us this morning, maybe about what's taking place in our lives right now. But God, the harder our heart is, the greater he will chasten us. But he will never break us. Amen? He will never destroy us by that. That's what I mean. To cause us to crumble to the point of no return. He never does that. Why? Because his goal is to receive us back to himself. So don't worry. Never come down to a point in your heart where you say, "Lord, this is too much. There's no such thing." If it is too much, then it's you and I that has the wrong attitude. In fact, it is good for us. That chastening is needful. That correction is needful. Because how else will you and I grow in the Christian life? You know, blessings are wonderful, but it's not really the blessings that help us to lean on God and depend on him and cast our very being on the Lord. No, it's his correction. Amen. When we see how wretched and sinful we are and he chastens us, that's when you and I cast ourselves once again upon the mercy and the love of God as his children. You see, he loves us. We need to receive his chastening. You know, the sky is the limit. As my pastor told me once I got saved, the sky is the limit if you keep following the Lord. And just like Jonah, the sky is the limit for you and I. What happened to Jonah? Well, he received God's chastening. He went into Nineveh and did what the Lord wanted him to do. He preached a one-line sermon. I envy him. That would save us a lot of time. He preached a one-line sermon, and the entire city turned their hearts to the living God. You see, the sky's the limit to what God wants to do in your life and mine if we respond to his chastening. Now, Jonah had a lot more lessons to learn, but so do we. But see, the sky's the limit. What could God do in your life and mine? Those who live around us, those who need to get saved, if we would simply live by faith and not forget the exhortation given unto us that God chastens us as his children. Don't despise his chastening. Don't faint at his chastening. If you need encouragement, pastor is not spying on you. And he's not here to crush you. We're here to help. Fellow brethren want to help you. Don't live alone in your Christian life. If we're all saved, then we're all being chastened. So we all have something in common. And God wants us to help one another. And he wants us to grow together and receive his chastening with joy. Please don't be the next victim of a wrong response to God's chastening. It's not his goal. It's not his plan. His plan is for you and I to grow by faith. And when we do, He will use us. Amen? In a very unexpected and unusual and miraculous way. And then He'll chasten us again and purge us again to be used in a greater way. And then He'll chasten us again to be used in a greater way. That's the life of a Christian. And one day we will get to glory and we will thank Him for His chastening love.